Welcome back into the Student Section Podcast. It's all college football all the time. Hope you guys enjoy the episode today. Hey guys, welcome back into another edition of the Student Section Podcast. Me and Steven here as usual. We decided to take a different approach for this podcast, give you guys something different. I think you guys will enjoy. So we sat down with Trey Wallace of Fox Sports Knoxville. He covers all things Vols. We talked to Trey during Tennessee's bye week to discuss the remaining schedule. You know, a lot of things going wrong down in up in Knoxville, I should say. So this is an interesting podcast, and I think you guys will enjoy it. All right, everyone. Excited to welcome in Trey Wallace of Fox Sports Knoxville. It's a little bit different episode today. I wanted to try something different. You know, we wanted to bring some guests in, so I figured, you know, one of the most controversial teams in college football right now is Tennessee. A lot of drama surrounding Tennessee football program, especially with their head coach, as we know. So if you want to find Trey, you can follow him on Twitter at TreyWallace_ or on the air at Fox Sports Knoxville, at Fox Sports Knox, sorry. On Twitter. He's on the drive from 3 to 6. You can find that on Fox Sports Knox. I usually tune into the drive on Periscope. It's a great show. Trey's a co-host on there, does a great job. So if you want to add anything to that, Trey, you can.
No, good evening, guys. It's good to join you all. And covering the Vols beat daily and covering the SEC as well, and co-host of The Drive every afternoon from 3 to 6 Eastern Time on Fox Sports Knoxville, and bringing Tennessee coverage and SEC coverage to everybody every single day of the week. Doesn't really matter what time it is. Usually something is going on in this crazy college football world, but it's good to join you guys tonight.
Yeah. So, you know, I first wanted to start off by saying, you know, I've been watching – paying attention to Tennessee my whole life, you know, a diehard Tennessee fan. So I first, just a personal question I wanted to ask, and for our Tennessee fans we have who tune into, you know, our Instagram, I'll say last year wasn't a disappointment because, I mean, just how bad the roster is, what Jeremy Pruitt inherited, pretty much a mess, 5-7, you know, last two games were definitely disappointing. Had big wins over Kentucky and go on the road, beat Auburn in their house. But this season, obviously, not how ball fans wanted it to turn out. So just to put it bluntly, do you think this – not even the season, but is this program salvageable?
Yeah, I mean – tough question, but yeah, I think it's solid. I think that Tennessee's in a bad spot right now with their 1-3 on this season. I think that they didn't prepare well enough for the Georgia State game, and I think that's a given. I think the BYU game, they came out and they showed a heck of a lot more fight. I thought their defensive line played well. At times, I thought the running game worked out very well. You throw in an errant interception to start the second half, and, you know, just some mismanagement, and then the play at the end, unfortunately, with Alante Taylor, and BYU comes down, kicks a field goal, we go to overtime, and just momentum was flowing their way. You can't take much from Chattanooga. I think they're a well-coached team, but you can't take much from that win over Chattanooga. And I thought Tennessee found themselves a little bit of a bright spot when it comes to offense. I mean, they were running the ball pretty well in those, you know, that second and third game. But then you could just go down the swamp. And, you know, in my opinion, gentlemen, you know, there was a good chance where Tennessee could have been up 14-10 right there at halftime. If things would have gone their way, you know, they make that play to Dom Anderson, or they score that touchdown at the end. But things didn't, and they come out in the second half, and, you know, they're flip-flopping quarterbacks, and they can't get any sustainability on any drives, and Jeremy Pruitt's in a situation now. I look at this part, and nobody was expecting this. Me, I was expecting 3-1 type deal to going into to October. But when you, there's a lot of people upset up here, and I get that completely, and all over the country, it's completely understandable. But I've held steady to this over the last 2 weeks, and even going to Gainesville, that I thought the season is still in a way it's salvageable when it comes to wins and losses. But I also think that it's salvageable for Jeremy Pruitt. You know, if you look at the schedule, what Tennessee has. You know, they got to play Georgia. Hey, it's on the schedule. You got to deal with it. But then you get to play a Mississippi State team who has struggled at times this year already. And that's a kind of a toss-up game, in my opinion. You're going to have to go take the beating down at Alabama, which everybody's receiving. It's not just Tennessee. But then you've got a chance. You know, you play teams like South Carolina, who's not playing good. You're playing a Missouri team, which you never really know what to expect, though I thought their offense played good against Gamecocks last week. You get UAB, Vanderbilt, Kentucky thrown in there. I think there's a chance Tennessee can end up with 5 or 6 wins. Now, that's saying a lot. A lot of things have to go their way. But I still think the season, in a way, is still hanging out there to grab to get things better. But right now, Tennessee fans don't want to hear that. Most of them do. A lot of them are. You know, let's get rid of Pruitt. Let's get rid of Pruitt. You know, let's figure out what's going on. We might as well get rid of him now and not wait till later. Well, my opinion on that is, well, that's kind of dumb. You know, I look at that and say, okay, he's 1-3. He's coached 16 games at the University of Tennessee. Last year, he takes care of Auburn. You beat Kentucky at home. You're playing close with South Carolina. Then you look bad. I know the last 2 games of the year. But I feel like there's still – something left for Pruitt to do. And I think that he can, if he gets his guys, all of his guys, you have to remember that they're playing a lot of freshmen and sophomores. Also, they have some holdovers in the junior, senior class. And I think it would be unfair in a way to just say, okay, 2 years in, let's automatically get rid of him. Because where Tennessee has struggled to me, and to be honest with you, if they had a quarterback they know day in and day out, they could go out there and they could rely on in all these games, I think Tennessee would probably be in a different situation right now. But you look at what Jeremy Pruitt has, and it is what it is, and it's just a different mindset up here. But answering your question in long form, I do think what Jeremy Pruitt has right now is salvageable at Tennessee. Now, ask me that question if we're sitting here at the end of the year and Tennessee staring down 2-10, you know, going into that Vanderbilt game, then, you know, maybe that'll change a little bit.
Yeah. To kind of go off of that, on the last podcast, we talked about some coaches on the hot seat, and obviously Taggart, Chip Kelly, and Jeremy Pruitt came up. And we were talking about Jeremy Pruitt a little bit, and, you know, and this was before – I think this is before the Chattanooga win. So they were 0-2 going into the Chattanooga game. And I said, you know, from my perspective, as a Tennessee fan, I wanted to see some stability from what I was saying in that podcast was, I don't want to see, you know, us just – it's been a revolving door. So – but then again, let's say Tennessee's 1-7 heading into the UAB game. What do you think? And if they're 1-7 heading to the UAB game, to be honest with you, I know that's homecoming, but I don't know if they'll be able to get 50, 60, you know, maybe 60,000 fans in there. So what do you, if they're put in that position, what do you think Philip Fulmer does?
I think it's a tricky spot because I go back, and you were just talking about crowd size. You know, what I've learned, and I've got family members that have been season ticket holders for Tennessee for 25-plus years. And what I've learned about Tennessee fans, and I've been coming up here since I was 3 years old, is that Tennessee fans are still going to show up. You know, you look at the Chattanooga game. That game was at 12 o'clock. It was hotter than the devil's hand out there. And you still, you know, they announced it at like 82,000. You still had 70,000 people in there, by my estimate, at that game. And you look at some of the matchups still on the schedule. You know, UAB, what you were just talking about. UAB is a very good ball club. I have followed Bill Clark for over 15 years now. He was a defensive coordinator, my alma mater, and what he's done with UAB is fantastic. That's not even a given win right there, first off. I think when you – if Tennessee is sitting in that spot, like you just said, going into a UAB game, and there's a bye shuffled in there the November 13th weekend, I'm pretty sure, there's going to be a lot of pressure. And that's – I asked that question this week. You know, when does Fulmer have to come out and say something? When is that time? And I think that would be it. If they drop a game to Mississippi State, they drop a game to South Carolina, that's going to be that time where he's going to have to come out and say, okay, I am sticking with this. We have a plan. You know, we're going to let these young guys get into this. This is how we're going to let play out. You know, we're going to give Jeremy Pruitt. We're going to stick behind him. Now, if they're 1-7, and you both know this, it is not going to be pretty up here. And I think fan attendance will go down in the month of November. I honestly do. But I still think, you know, you'll have 60,000 folks show up, you know, and it's a weird situation, man, because you don't expect Tennessee to be in this spot in year two. But also you have to add in ticket sales, concessions, parking, beer sales that they just implemented. You know, there's a lot of things to go into this. Season tickets heading into next year. You know, too much goes into this for them not to at least think about it. And the amount of money that they would lose potentially might outweigh the amount of money that it would take to buy out Jeremy Pruitt. And I've been against getting rid of Jeremy Pruitt, but I'll say this, though. If they're staring down that record come UAB game, then you got to start thinking. Because the teams that they should be beating right now or should be in the – let me rephrase that. The teams that they should be contending with right now, and a lot of fans don't like this, but it's the truth. They should be contending with South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky, every now and then Florida. They're not at that spot where they're contending with Georgia and Alabama. And that sucks for a lot of Tennessee fans. They don't want to stare that in the face. They don't want to grip that. But that's the God's honest truth. And if they can go out and win some of those games against some of those teams, then maybe Tennessee's taking the right step. If they hold on to their quarterback, Harrison Bailey, Tennessee can continue taking the right step. But I don't know what this place will look like if Tennessee's sitting here at 1-7. I don't know. I don't want to know what it looks like, but there's a decent chance we might. And if it comes to that time, I do think Philip Fulmer has to look in the mirror and figure out, okay, how are we going to play things out? And I'm going to take this a step further. If Tennessee's sitting 1-7, Philip Fulmer better be scared for his job just as much as Jeremy Pruitt's scared for his. Because this is a Philip Fulmer hire. Philip Fulmer signed off on Jim Chaney. Philip Fulmer signed off on Derek Ansley. He signed off on all these fat contracts with the assistant coaches. And here's what I've learned. A lot of people don't want you to talk bad about Philip Fulmer, okay? But Philip Fulmer put himself in the spotlight when he became the athletic director at a Power 5 school with the amount of money, the amount of fan support, the amount of just in everything that they put into this football program and these athletics. Philip Fulmer put himself into this spot where his legacy ties in to what goes on with Jeremy Pruitt.
Okay, so the last thing for me, really, and then I'll turn it off to Steven, just looking around, you know, college football, obviously, you know, you get into the last few 2 weeks, 3 weeks, is some teams, athletic directors, I should say, make moves around that time. Usually it's always after the season. Most teams don't do it during the season. But who do you think is the most likely or the first to, you know, lose their job? You know, from me, just your personal opinion, but, you know, for me personally, if you had asked me a week ago, I probably would have said Chip Kelly, but, you know, maybe that win against Washington State buys him some time. I don't know. Taggart, Florida State's been awful. Their effort on the field has been horrendous. He's got a huge buyout though, so I'm not sure about that. But the one that I'm most interested in, and I don't think it will happen, but there's always chatter, is Gus Malzahn. Last year there was a lot of talk about the Bob Stoops and them and the AD meeting, secret meeting, stuff like that. I saw something on, I can't remember where it was. It just escaped me, but their AD was going to assess his security after they play, the Alabamas of the world, LSU.
You saw that by Sports by Brooks. That was a tweet put up by Sports by Brooks talking about that there was a booster at Auburn that would, contemplate Gus Malzahn coming back next year if they beat Alabama, which I think I grew up in that state. I got little brothers that graduated from Auburn. I know a bunch of people down there at Auburn. I think that's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life by somebody or reporter to put out. You're not basing if a coach is going to come back or not on one win against Alabama. I think that's baseless and pointless. But I mean, I didn't mean to cut you off. That kind of triggered me because that tweet that came out, it didn't make sense to me. I think it's if you had to ask me right now, I think Chip Kelly's fine because not a whole lot of people are worried about UCLA football right now. And I think that's what Chip Kelly said. It's fine out at UCLA. Also, let's not forget their athletic director, Dan Guerrero, is resigning in June of 2020. I look at Clay Helton. If he can continue to somehow putting some wins together, it's going to put some pressure on the president and whoever they hire as the AD to make that change. I think they'd have to have Urban Meyer slicked up in the bag, ready to sign if they did decide to do that. I think Florida State has put themselves in a pickle because of the buyout with Willie Taggart. Fan support's down. It just looks rough down there. But I think they actually have a way to climb out of it, in a sense, with Kendall Briles and his offense. If you had to ask me right now which coach I think is on the hot seat and could lose his job, I think it's Derek Mason at Vanderbilt. I think you come out and you lose that game against Northern Illinois this weekend, or you make it really close. If you definitely lose the game, you're sitting at 0-4 on the season. If you win it, you're sitting at 1-3 with the SEC slate coming up, which is not going to be kind to him. New athletic director in Nashville and Malcolm Turner. I think that's the one that I look at and think he could potentially lose his job if Malcolm Turner decides to go another way. Fan bases have taken over Nashville now. It's always been going on there, but it's kind of hit a new level with LSU and Georgia early on this season. It looks horrible upon that university, especially with the offensive talent they have on that side of the football. They have not gotten results. But I'd say Derek Mason right now. I think Gus Malzahn's going to be okay because they've got themselves a quarterback. Looks like they've got a future when it comes to the offensive side of the football. And, anything can happen down at Auburn. I've come to learn that. You got some crazy boosters down there. I like to correlate them a little bit with Tennessee. But anything can happen. But I just don't see Gus Malzahn losing his job unless he comes out and loses four games here, the rest of the season. Just doesn't look good. I just don't see that being the case. So if anybody, I think it'd be Derek Mason right now that's at the top of my list.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have thought about Derek Mason just because I guess Vandy's not a powerhouse, but that's definitely a possibility. What I wanted to ask, transitioning a little bit back to Tennessee, is what should Vol fans – I've lived in Tennessee my whole life, just like Garen, but I'm not a Tennessee fan. But I've been around Tennessee fans my whole life. What should their expectations be for the rest of the season? Because, obviously sitting at 1-3, you're probably not making a bowl game at this point. So what should their expectations go be going on for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think it's tough, man. I think it's when you look at Georgia coming to town and then Alabama, you have Mississippi State thrown right there in the middle, man. Expectation-wise, it's tough to pinpoint. I mean, I don't want to tell Tennessee fans what to do. But I expect them to play competitive football against Mississippi State and South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri. Vanderbilt, and UAB. I just expect them to be competitive. Here's the thing. I don't think this team has quit on Jeremy Pruitt. You saw guys trying to make plays towards the end of the Florida game, you know, and it was completely out of reach. They'll have a week and a half, 2 weeks now, you know, before Georgia comes to town next weekend. That's tough, man. It's tough to put expectations. This is me personally, I expect Tennessee to come out and play well against Mississippi State because they're going to have talent-wise an opportunity to beat them. And I expect them to come out after the Alabama game, and I expect them to come out and be competitive in every single one of those games, and they'll have a chance to win every single one of those games after Alabama. And if they do that, if somehow they can do that and they can rally this team together, Tennessee would be somehow bowling when it comes to December. Now, if not, and things completely fall off the ship here, and you got older players that maybe check out, you know, and decide they're going to look forward to the NFL or other teams or something like that, then that's where the situation gets even worse. But expectation-wise, I would expect Tennessee to be competitive in every single one of these games besides Georgia and Alabama. And I think Tennessee comes out, and I think they should come out and play pretty competitive in the first half with Georgia. But I think Tennessee's, you know, Georgia's run game in the second half will, you know, and if they can't get anything out of the quarterbacks, then Georgia's just going to wear them down by running the football. And, you know, it is what it is. It's, Tennessee's defense is just not deep enough, especially with the loss of Will Ignat and Shannon Reed earlier this week, to keep up with him at most positions.
Right, yeah. So for you, are you saying that obviously you want to win, but right now maybe it's not all about the wins and losses. It's a lot about just effort and competing. You got to go out there and show that you still care about this season, even though you're sitting at 1-3.
I mean, you just got to show. Yeah, man. I mean, and I know that's horrible for Tennessee fans to hear, but I always shoot them straight. It's you want to be, don't get blown out by Georgia. And blown out to me is something like what happened down in Florida. Don't get blown out at home to Georgia. There are going to be 30,000 to 40,000 Georgia fans in that stadium next weekend. Don't get embarrassed at home. 17-point game, okay, that's fine. I think Tennessee can deal with something like that. But don't come out and get beat 41-3 or 48-14 or nothing like that. Alabama, it's another story, man. They're tough. You got to take what you can get. And at times, Tennessee's gone down Alabama and played, you know, pretty competitive football in the last 10 years at times. But the rest of the way, you know, it's another story. I think Tennessee has to flip a switch when it comes to after Alabama weekend. And if they do that, Tennessee can still hit some of their goals. But for what they're trying to accomplish by keeping some of these recruits, by being able to have a some kind of positive come out of this season, they're going to have to pick up a win against somebody they're not supposed to kind of turn this fan base around from the crazy fire that it is right now. And, I expect them to be competitive, and I'm going to stick with that. I think that's what they need to do. And I think if you're going to keep this fan base and you're not going to completely lose them, like some of them are already, then you've got to be competitive down the stretch.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think this, if it gets to a point where, you know, they are sitting at 1-7 and, you know, bowl eligibility is out of the question, you know, I think Jeremy Pruitt's got to make a decision. You know, I mean, who am I going to roll with? Am I going to roll with these young guys, or, you know, it's a tough decision for him. You know, you got a lot of really good young guys on this team who are going to make a huge impact in the years to come. You know, cool. You got good running back in Eric Gray, Tavares Crouch, Roman Harrison, Warren Burrell, who's played a lot early. So he's got a lot of decisions to make. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here.
No, I agree with you. Tennessee's got some freshmen and sophomore talent on the squad, and I think they even have redshirt sophomores, play like that I think Tennessee can build upon with the future. But they do have some guys on this team like Callaway and Jennings and, Nigel Warrior's not played to his capability this year, but
he's still looked at as a leader on this team. And I think if Tennessee's sitting at 1-7, you got to say, okay, I'm going to play the guys that have been there with me all through the year, and the guys that have stepped up and been leaders, like Petulie as well. You other guys, you're going to have to hit the pine for a while because we're building towards the future. That's a tough decision Jeremy Pruitt's going to have to make. But if he's sitting at 1-7 or 2-6 or something like that, it really doesn't matter. He's trying to save his job and not have to worry about hurting somebody's feelings or hurting some parents' feelings of these kids. This is college football. This is not high school football anymore. You know, it is what it is, and these guys have got to start performing, but also understand that they are young men that do have feelings. They're in college, and, you know, these guys see and hear everything. But Jeremy Pruitt's got to make a decision on how he wants to go about the future of this program. And he also has to do it methodically because he wants to keep his job for next season. So it'll be interesting the rest of the way, boys.
Yep. Thanks for coming on here, Trey. I always appreciate it taking time to do this. I enjoyed it. Have a good night, I guess. Don't work too. Yeah.
No, thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys having me on. I hope you guys have a great weekend and enjoy this interesting slate of games in the SEC this weekend. And then we'll get back up for some games next weekend. But y'all have a fantastic night. Thank you so much.
Take it easy.
Thank you, guys.
So there's Trey Wallace's take on things, how Tennessee season is going. Again, we want to thank Trey Wallace again for taking the time to come on and speak with us. Very nice of him. Enjoyed having him on. So we just want to give a couple quick thoughts on what he had to say and our point of view on it. Today, Tennessee has already played Georgia to this point as we're speaking right now. We know how that game went. 43-14, Georgia came out on top with that game. I think, like Trey Wallace said, Tennessee just needs to show some fight, some heart, some effort, and just go out there and compete. And I think the change at quarterback really allowed Tennessee. I mean, the score won't indicate it, but the first half, they were right there with Georgia. Second half, Tennessee's offense couldn't do anything, but I definitely think they competed.
Yeah, I mean, me and Garen were at the game with some friends that go to Tennessee. We went up to go visit them. We went to the game. And as you know, Garen's a Tennessee fan, and I was surrounded by Tennessee fans, and I'm not a Tennessee fan myself. But the atmosphere was great. I mean, if the fans, you know, are questioning the team, questioning the coaching or whatever, it didn't really seem like it because the atmosphere was awesome. Students were into it. All the fans were into it. It was a great first half. I mean, Tennessee was winning at one point. Like Trey Wallace said, he said they needed to, it wasn't necessarily about the wins and losses. It was about like effort and if they're competitive and stuff. And they definitely were in the first half for sure. The second half, they still put up a fight, you know, but obviously Georgia, the better team, pulled away a bit. The score didn't indicate how, I mean, obviously it wasn't like a close game the whole time. I mean, Tennessee came down at the end of the first half, missed a field goal, and then let Georgia drive down and score a touchdown in a minute. So it could have been a 2017 game going into halftime. It ended up being, 26-14. Yeah. So, you know, it could have been different going into halftime. Not saying that Tennessee could have, you know, won the game, but it was a pretty good game. Tennessee showed a lot of effort. And they were competitive, just like Trey Wallace said. So, that's good to see. Because that's what Tennessee needs to do going forward in the season.
Yeah, I think going forward, now that Tennessee – I'm not going to say that they, like, have a quarterback, but at least they have someone who's going to give them a chance to win a couple games. Just looking forward, Tennessee's schedule, they play Mississippi State this upcoming week. That should be a winnable game for them. I think Mississippi State's favored by a touchdown, as they should be, just because, I mean, they have more wins than Tennessee, and they've probably been a little bit more competitive than Tennessee, but I don't think Mississippi State's, you know, a great football team by any means. They play Alabama. Like Trey Wall said, you're going to have to go down there and take a beating. It's just how things go. Then you got South Carolina at home, UAB at home, Kentucky on the road, Missouri away, and Vanderbilt at home. I expect Tennessee to be competitive, if not in every single one of those games. I would say Missouri's probably for sure a loss, but I know Kelly Bryant is dealing with a knee injury. I think he has like a sprain or something. So if he were to get banged up even more, then, you know, that helps Tennessee out. I saw where he took a nasty hit. That's definitely tough for Missouri. But Vandy is pretty bad. I expect Tennessee definitely have two for sure wins against Vandy and UAB, and then South Carolina, Kentucky are definitely toss-ups. So, you know, but just like Trey Wall said, it is about wins and losses, but more than anything, this team just needs to improve. So that's basically my thoughts on the rest of the season. And want to thank Trey for coming on again. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to say for the remaining schedule, I see every game is winnable, the remaining schedule except Alabama. But I think you need to win at least three of those games. So Vandy, I think Vandy's the worst team in the SEC. I think after this past week, this past game with Tennessee versus Georgia, I think Tennessee showed that they can that they showed they're not the worst team in the SEC. I think I would say Vandy's the worst team in the SEC. So I think Tennessee, especially at home, needs to get that win. You play UAB at home, who UAB's not as good as they were last year. You need to get that win. And then you're not going to win against Alabama, but you got Mississippi State, South Carolina, Missouri, and Kentucky. You need to win at least one of those games. So I think, you know, if they do, they would finish 4-8, which obviously is even worse than last year because they went 5-7. But, you know, they're sitting right now at 1-4. So if you, you know, finish 4-8, that's not that bad. So I would say that's what they need to be shooting for. But yeah, they just, at the least just need to be competitive. But yeah, so we're going to hopefully get more guys on, like Trey Wallace coming on. Do you have something to say?
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing. So let's like you said, they could finish 4-8. But for Tennessee fans, I think one thing to think about is, and I'm not saying the quarterback they have, Brian Maurer, that they have now is like great or anything. I mean, he played a good first half, but he did not play well in the second half. But let's just say that he started from the get-go. I mean, maybe you know, you have two close games against Georgia State and BYU. Maybe you win both of those. So, I mean, let's say you win both of those right now. You would have, three wins? So, I mean, that would help you out some. You would actually start the season off 3-0 going into Florida. You'd probably lose to Florida. You'd definitely lose to both Florida and Georgia, but you have three wins. And then, like you said, you get a couple wins down here in the stretch and you'd be bowl eligible. Okay. So it's just unfortunate for Tennessee fans, but, you know, now they just have, Tennessee just has to look ahead.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, well, hopefully we're going to get more people on like Trey Wallace, different, you know, reporters, different, maybe, you know, coaches at some point, players, stuff like that. But we're going to – that's going to be a wrap it up for the Tennessee segment. We don't want to make this completely a Tennessee podcast. So we're going to have – I think we're going to have our playoff prediction. Since we're now, 6 weeks into the season, we wanted to give our playoff predictions going in, you know, going into week 7.
This is just – this could change next week. I'm just going off of how teams are playing right now. So, number one, I've got Alabama. Number two, I've got Ohio State. And number three, I've got Clemson. And then in the number four spot, I see Oklahoma squeezing in there. I debated back and forth between LSU and Oklahoma. I also left Georgia out. I do think Oklahoma will beat Texas twice. I think Texas has struggled a little bit. People really haven't noticed it, but I think they have. I think they won a close game this past weekend. I think Oklahoma's offense is really good. I think their defense might be slightly better than last year, but it's still not that good. So, with that being said, I see LSU losing to Alabama and getting left out. And I see Georgia running the table just like last year and losing to Alabama in the SEC championship and also getting left out. So, that's my playoff predictions as today stands.
Yeah, mine are similar. I'm going to go with Alabama 1, Ohio State 2. I think both will go 13-0. Then I got Clemson 3, who I also think will probably go 13-0. But I think if Alabama and Ohio State go 13-0, I think Clemson will be put behind them because their competition's cheeks. And then for my fourth team, I got LSU. I think they'll lose a close one to Alabama, and it'll be higher scoring than usual since neither team's defense is what it used to be. And I think Georgia will lose to Alabama in the SEC championship, and then LSU will slide into that four spot. And the reason I left Oklahoma out is because I don't see them beating Texas twice. I think they'll lose to them at some point, and I don't think they'll get in. So I think it's going to be like how Alabama lost to Auburn that one year, and then Auburn lost the SEC championship, and then Alabama slid in. I think it's going to be like that for LSU. And if you remember, Alabama won that national championship, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, watch out for LSU. But that's going to wrap this podcast up. We wanted to add this little segment at the end so it wasn't completely Tennessee. But we will catch y'all in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Student Section Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. And as always, tune in next week for another weekly episode.